From UFOs, ghosts, witchcraft, and the occult, the world is chasing shadows. Join us as we uncover what Christians must know about the unseen. The Uncensored, Unfiltered Truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. And joining me today is Mr. Nestor Arce up there in the New York area, somewhere in an undisclosed location. He is the co-host of a show on Revelation Radio entitled Shadows of a Greater Reality. And I felt like, Nestor, that it was a really good idea to bring you on and, you know, let people know a little bit about you and also the show that is running over there. So, first of all, welcome and thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Last Christian Radio Show.
Well, JD, it's been a pleasure doing the show with you, and it's been a pleasure being a co-host on Shadows of a Greater Reality.
Well, you're doing a great job over there. You also got my co-host from this show, who happens to be on vacation right now. And, you know, I was talking to David and said, you know, this would be a perfect time, you know, to bring Nestor in and let everybody get to know him a little better. So, and this is a subject that I don't think a lot of Christians really want to even think about, much less know about. So this is going to be interesting. And I told you before we even started, you know, I'm ignorant on this subject, so I'm going to be learning from you. You are the expert in the field, not me. So I'm going to be asking a lot of stupid questions, I assume. But before we get going, Nestor, would you give us the honor, please, of praying us into this episode?
Absolutely, JD. Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful conversation we're about to have. We pray that you would give us hearts of boldness, Lord, and also minds of understanding to approach these topics from your lens and from your word, Lord. And as we dive into these topics, we're going to dive into a lot of just things that are dark, but Lord, we cannot acknowledge darkness without the light. And so we pray that these conversations would lead us to the light that is found in you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Now, again, I don't know a lot about this subject, but I do have the topics that we expect to talk about today. And we'll see how close we come on that. But anyway, we're going to start off with the unseen realm, what the Bible actually teaches. And then we'll go into the ghosts, the spirits, and the dead. That's something that should get everybody's attention, I would think. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to look at mediums, curses, witchcraft, and sorcery. And we'll show you just how dangerous all of that stuff really is and what the Bible has to say about it. And then in the final segment today, we'll be talking about discerning the signs of the times. And I think that that is a very, a very important topic to get in, to get into. So, Nestor, why don't you begin by telling us just a little bit about what Shadows is all about as I get things a little better prepared right here, okay?
Sure. So pretty much Shadows of a Greater Reality is a show that we explore, you know, what is truth and most importantly, who is truth. And we dive into a lot of really interesting topics when it comes to UFOs, when it comes to cryptids, when it comes to witchcraft. We talk about astrology and astronomy a lot. And we've had just a lot of phenomenal guests, guys that are, you know, beyond even my own knowledge as well. And so I recommend the show if you want to, you know, listen to that conversation.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, it's something that, I don't know, it's spooky.
It really is. We do it's get kind of, into some weird topics.
Yeah, well, let's look at this first one here, okay? This is the unseen realm, what the Bible actually teaches. We have the scriptural reality of the spiritual world with angels, demons, and principalities, and that are real. This is, if you look into Ephesians 6:12, Daniel 10:13, why humanity seeks the supernatural. God set eternity in the human heart. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11. But Satan twists that longing toward deception. Now, you got a Bigfoot and similar phenomenon there, often tied to myths of giants or Nephilim from Genesis 6:4. Now, whether hoax or demonic manifestation, believers must measure all claims against Scripture, not folklore. So you've got UFOs and alien contact. Now, this may be physical anomalies or deceptive spiritual activity imitating signs and wonders, look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11. The focus must remain on Christ now, not on the visitors. So the key reminder here is curiosity is not sin. I want to emphasize that. Just to think about this stuff and to be curious about it, that's not a sin. But obsession opens doors to fear and deception. That comes from 2 Timothy 1, 7. So let me know what you think about that, Nestor. Am I on the mark there, or missing it, or what?
No, I think you're on the mark. And I, whenever I get into these conversations, in fact, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday during lunch, and we were talking about all this stuff. We were talking about UFOs, the Ouija boards, you know, mm-hmm. all this crazy phenomena, and how we as believers are to then approach these topics. I always go back to this really famous quote by C.S. Lewis. And again, I'm kind of misquoting, kind of just loosely quoting it, but he basically says there's two approaches that Christians, you know, either take, or people either take when it comes to approaching these sort of demonic phenomena or spiritual phenomena. We can either be so laser focused on it that we lose track of the gospel, mm-hmm. or we can just deny it altogether. But in either approach, Satan still gets the glory, right? He still glorifies mm-hmm. it, because it doesn't matter whether you're super obsessed with it or whether you deny it, the reality of these things, it's still taking away the attention from God, the gospel, the message of grace upon your life. And I think one of those two approaches can be dangerous, not just for an unbeliever, but also for the spiritual life of a Christian.
Yeah. Well, do you think that that Christians think about this stuff? I mean, in a church, for instance, I know that, you know, there's a lot of focus on the giants and Nephilim and all that, and I don't think that there is a true understanding in the church. I know I went to church for years, and I can never remember a single sermon ever on the Nephilim, not one. So, yeah. What is the church missing by not addressing Genesis 6?
Well, what is the church missing by not addressing Genesis 6 and also other parts of Scripture, right? I feel the same way. Like, I've been going to church for years, since I was a teenager. And at least when it comes to a lot of these topics, it's typically referred to, you know, those quote-unquote weirdos on YouTube that kind of like mm-hmm. like to talk about all this stuff, you know, kind of guys like you and I right now, right?
Mm-hmm, right. right
mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is that once again, I'll refer to another conversation that I was having with someone many years ago. I remember just walking with them in a park at night, and we were talking about, you know, the recent baptism that I just had that evening. We were all celebrating, we were walking by the waterside. Suddenly we look up in the sky, and we see this really strange object. Mm-hmm. And mind you, this was like before the time of like drones and all that stuff.
Right, right.
And this object is just hovering there, and it's just me and this group of people, including the individual. And we're looking at it, and we're like, man, is that like a UFO? Like, that's really weird. Like, I mean, you see helicopters move around the night sky. You see, airplanes. Mind you, we live in New York City, so the air traffic around here is just nuts. But there's just one object in the sky that's just floating there. And, you know, I mentioned, like, maybe it's a UFO. And I remember the individual was like, yeah, probably it's a UFO. But, it's just a distraction. We can't really talk about that stuff. And so that being said, it kind of just revealed to me the mindset that I think a lot of believers have in the modern church, mm-hmm. where I think deep down they want to acknowledge this stuff openly, but out of fear of stigma or out of just a lack of understanding, we don't really want to dive into this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have seen one thing in all of my years. I'm 67, by the way.
Yeah.
One thing that was odd for me, and it happened not too long ago.
Really? Okay, I got to hear the story.
If you remember, there during the last days of the Biden administration,
yes,
there was all kinds of talk about, you know, this crazy stuff going on. And it was up in your area, by the way. Yeah. You know, all kinds of stuff that was unexplained and all that. And you know, the Trump administration came in later and said it was drone activity or whatever. But anyway, this was during that time frame. And now, unlike you, I don't live in a big city. I live out in the middle of nothing. Okay, I live in the country. And, you know, we have, you know, I'll hear a helicopter maybe once every 2 months. I can't remember the last time I saw an airplane. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, we're out in the middle of nothing out here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, one night I was walking in toward my house, and I'm looking up in the sky, and there is this thing up there and it was sitting perfectly still. Now, immediately I'm thinking drone, right? But this thing was way off. I mean, it was, I'm going to say at least 2 or 3 miles away, you know, and it was still fairly large.
Wow.
So, it's just sitting still. It's not doing anything. It's not a star. I know the stars here. I've seen them all the time. You know, it wasn't a star. And I tried to take a picture of the stupid thing, but I couldn't get the phone wouldn't do that. You know, I couldn't get it done right. And it just looked like junk. You know, so there wasn't any reason for me to try that. And so I had my grandkids come out and look at it, and they said, we've never seen anything like that either. My brother, you know, we're all looking at it. You know, I mean, like I said, this is pretty far out there. And honestly, you know, the way I am with Christ, I didn't really care. You know, I mean, if the rapture was going to happen, good, I'm out of here. I wasn't worried about it to the point that, okay, well, that's something. I can't explain it, so let me go in and watch TV. And that was about it. That's the only thing I ever dealt with as far as something that I couldn't explain. And I can't explain it to this day. I have no idea what it was. But I do know that there were other people in the area that saw it because, you know, even out here in the country, we have Facebook.
So,
you know, there were people talking about it. And nobody had a picture. I don't know how. That's one of the big complaints that I've always had about the supernatural stuff, you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, and all that kind of stuff, is everybody's got a camera now, and, you know, there's a billion cameras out there. How come we can't ever get a picture of something? Well, okay, I just experienced it, you know? I don't know if that leads into anything for you, if you know, or not, but that's the only thing I ever had at all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the Bible, you know, and as believers, like, we shouldn't be surprised when we see these things, right? Like, if we study our Bible, Scripture says that there will be signs in the heavens. You study, you know, other passages through Ezekiel, Exodus, Genesis. Mm-hmm. I mean, many of these figures were finding things in the sky all the time. Now, the thing is that back then in those older cultures, like, whenever they would see signs in the heavens, it would be incredibly glorious or even at times maybe malevolent. But the thing is that they accepted this as part of the dimension that we currently live in, the third dimension. Now, in our current times, what ended up occurring is because the church went through the whole Industrial Revolution, and then now you have this, I think, what's overly pro-science outlook on society right now. Mm. I feel like we need to then justify or overly justify certain positions that we might have taken back, you know, hundreds of years ago when we looked through Scripture. And I think, unfortunately, that sort of culture has fallen into the church, where now I've seen people even like deny the power of the blood of Christ and say stuff like, well, it really wasn't the blood of Christ that saves us. It was just the fact, it was just the act itself of crucifixion. Yeah. It's that kind of thinking. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, the church may have fallen into this, but even the secular world right now, like, you go on like Instagram, you go on Facebook, you go on the news, like wherever, you know, whatever social media sites you like to look into, like even a lot of these people, a lot of these secular powers that would just outright laugh at you for even mentioning the UFO UAP phenomenon. Now they're coming out and saying, yeah, you know what? This stuff is real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These things could like go through dimensions. They're writing like Harvard papers on this stuff. You know, you have, even like Elon Musk, we talked about this on another show, where now he's gone from like being atheist to maybe saying, oh, well, yeah, the simulation theory is actually real. Like, again, not fully accepting the fact that, yeah, like, you know, there is a kingdom of God and a kingdom of darkness, but the fact that he's saying like simulation theory, the fact that he's saying that our reality could potentially be constructed from a greater intelligence, like, I think that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And so my question is, all right, so of all of these powers that are not Christian, that are not acknowledging the gospel, are saying, all right, this stuff is probably real, and sort of defining that, these things in their own terms, where's the church at in this?
Yeah.
And this goes back into, you know, the interview that we did with Elie Marzulli on our show Shadows, where he goes in and one day he's watching the you know, Fox News, and they bring in this military leader and comes out and just says it, hey, like, we've seen UAPs and UFOs, like, this stuff is absolutely real, like, you know, I'm from the military. And he's expecting to then the churches during that Sunday to just be full of these sermons explaining and diving this UFO phenomenon, sort of like issuing a response to this stuff. But then the next day he realizes, wait a minute, he's only getting like maybe one text from one of his buddies. His phone is not blowing up. He goes to church on that Sunday and like no acknowledgement of this disclosure. Like, this is something that potentially could be like earth shattering to like the way we look at, modern culture, the way that we look at all world religions. Like, you would think, like, you watching these movies, like, once like the aliens like land on Earth, like the entire Earth now is like suddenly questioning its own reality. But that's not really what happened in our case. And so it kind of just shows you sort of where the church is at right now, where it's like, all right, why are we not getting ahead of this conversation? And then lastly, I'll even add too, I've noticed recently there's a lot of people that, you know, were formerly involved in New Age who acknowledge a lot of this stuff, the spiritual reality of, you know, Bigfoot, UFO, ghosts, and all that stuff. A lot of them were former practitioners of witchcraft. So they're coming into the church, they're getting saved. But then when they ask these questions of, all right, well, you know, one time when I was like on a DMT trip, I saw like these, you know, figures, you know, they were speaking to me and I was speaking to them, you know, what does the Bible say about that? And I think it's just such a huge mistake for the church to then say, you know, it's not really anything, just focus on Jesus.
Right.
You know, we're doing a disservice because culturally now we're falling behind once again when it comes to this. And I think that that's something that, at least in my opinion, I feel like the church really needs to get ahead of.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're about to talk about ghosts and spirits and a lot to do with the dead, I think, which is a lot of what you were just talking about. But before we get there, are you looking for a meaningful way to stand for Christian values in a world that's drifting further from the truth? Well, The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener-supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep this message alive. Now, you can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every gift matters, no matter the size. And remember now, every donation is fully tax-deductible. But there's another way you can help us, too, by simply purchasing the everyday products that you already use from our trusted partners. You're supporting this ministry. That's The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, a Prima Ancestral Protein Bars Christian book, and through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies. You can also register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Now, students can save up to 45% through the link exclusively on our site. These are quality products and resources that you'll love, and every purchase through our links does fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand with us, pray with us, support the mission, because the time is short and the truth must be told. Now, Nestor, I want to move on here to the next subject, because you kind of already led us there, okay?
Sure.
And that is the ghosts, the spirits of the dead. Do ghosts exist? Now, that's a question I'm going to ask you here in a second. Scripture's clear that the dead know nothing of earthly affairs. Now, that's Ecclesiastes 9:5. What appears as a ghost is not a human soul, but familiar spirit, a demon mimicking the deceased. That comes from 1 Samuel 28. haunted locations, manifestations of oppression, not souls in limbo. Authority belongs to Christ only. That's Mark 1:27. Now, the Christian response to all this is prayer, worship, the name of Jesus, not rituals or salt or energy cleansing. So the question, Nestor, that I have for you right off the top here is, do ghosts actually exist?
So, well, I can tell you from personal experience is that, yes, they do exist. Now, the real question we should be asking ourselves is, okay, what really are ghosts?
Okay.
Now, when you look into pop culture, right, you see just a litany of ghost shows, ghost, you know, movies based on spirits like The Conjuring and all that stuff.
Right.
You can even like open up your phone, go on TikTok, Instagram, and people are posting like experiences, whether they're real or not. People are just posting videos of their encounters with these ghosts or these spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what does the Bible say about that? Well, let me just shoot off a couple of verses here. Now, in Luke 24:39, Jesus tells his disciples, "See my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see me." So he's describing his physical appearance. But then he goes off and he says something that's really interesting. He says, "For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." So that's really interesting. So yeah. Jesus now is making the distinction that man has two distinct forms. He has a fleshly, earthly form and a spiritual form. Now, you go off to Hebrews 9:27. Man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, right? That's a really popular verse that we like to usually throw around whenever we talk about this stuff. I'll even go into Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." Okay, that's really interesting because there now is putting a cap on the whole spiritual paranormal phenomena. All right, so if the Bible is saying, okay, once man's place, once man's role in this dimension is done, okay, then that's it. They're gone. Now, where they go to and all that stuff, we can talk about that another time because that's a whole other topic. We can get into like the topic of Sheol and all that stuff. But the question then goes back to, all right, what are we really talking to? Now, according to what scripture talks about, you know, describing familiar spirits, right? And what are familiar spirits? These are spirits that, as it says in the Bible, as Satan likes to disguise himself as an angel of light. In my opinion, I think that whenever people go ghost hunting or communicating with spirits, they're really talking to the spirits of the Nephilim. These are demons.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So
I agree.
Yeah. So,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. So, Joel, I have a question, a really quick question for you. Have you ever had a spiritual encounter where you weren't sure who you aren't communicating with?
No, I don't. Not at least not in the conscious world.
Yeah,
possibly in dreams.
Okay,
but I can't even put my finger on that specifically. It just just hit me in my mind. Maybe but I can't say for sure, Nestor.
Yeah. And that's kind of the same idea that we have when we communicate with spirits, right?
Okay.
When we go out there and we start reaching out into the spiritual world,
mm-hmm.
it's like the equivalent of taking my phone, just dialing random numbers. All right, let's see who picks up. You don't know who you're talking to. You could be talking
right.
to somebody in China. You could be talking to somebody in India. You could be calling, your worst neighbor who wants to do damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you're communicating to these spirits, that's the case. And so I want to refer to just a few days ago, I was watching a show on HBO Max called Destinations of the Damned. It's by this guy. His name is, I forget his name. But basically the guy who like leads the whole like ghost adventure show, like that whole thing. And he's like really like obsessed with all like collecting like haunted artifacts and all that. But there's this one specific point towards the end of the last episode. They bring in this individual. His name is Gary Galka. Now, Gary Galka was the creator of the the REM pod, the REM pod, and he also invented the concept of spirit boxes. Now, he wasn't like the first guy to go into it, but he was definitely one of the pioneers of this whole phenomenon. And so the REM pods and what these spirit boxes do is that they basically shoot out all these electro waves out into the atmosphere, and then whatever spirits are there then use these waves to then communicate their voices through these boxes. Joel, I'm sure you've seen these shows and you've seen like the whole like EVP phenomenon, right?
Oh,
like
yeah,
they'll
sure.
go out there, they'll record, you know, hey, you know, is somebody here with us? You know,
yes.
You know, what's your name and all that?
Like I said, I've got a family member that does that. He goes into these supposed haunted houses and, you know, tries to conjure up these things or tries to record it, you know, and that scares the daylights out of me. But anyway, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it really is creepy. Now, like when you watch those shows, you can't really hear too much of what the other side is saying. Like you will definitely hear like a voice, and a lot of these voices are, you know, gendered voices. Sometimes a man will be talking to you. Sometimes a woman will be talking to you. Mm-hmm. But then there's other times where something not quite human is communicating.
Yeah, growling
with you. Monster voices. Like that's really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in the end of this episode, Gary Galka, he actually tests out the new device. And Joel, this is the creepiest thing I've ever seen, because in that one episode, when he's turning on the device, he's basically speaking to a supposed spirit that was murdered in the area that they were investigating.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing sounded, this is probably the most clear EVP I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
It sounded like you and I talking right now.
Okay.
It sounded like someone was talking through a walkie-talkie. And of course, they started asking questions, you know, where are you, this and that. And the thing was responding, yeah, this life doesn't matter. We're here. Yeah, there is a heaven and stuff like that. And people who are naturally watching this and listening to this, they're going to be spooked out. But it's just really interesting how this thing is just offering like basically the answers to life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But me as a believer, I'm like watching this and I'm like, hey, why don't you try asking it questions of like Jesus? Hey, is Jesus real? Is heaven real? What about hell? Is that like a real thing too?
Yo,
how
yeah,
come, you know,
yeah, uh-huh.
you know, so. It's easy to not to basically lack discernment and fall into a lot of these things, because once again, you might be hearing something that sounds so utterly real and convincing. But again, what is the source of this?
Right.
Well, the Bible really teaches, well, you have to question the source, not so much the fact that it isn't real and not real. But OK, if it is real, then who's talking to you? Where is this coming from? And a lot of the times, in fact, every time that you reach out to these things, it's not something that is benevolent.
Well, okay. I don't think we're done with this particular segment yet. So we'll take it up as we begin the second half of the show. If you guys will just hang in there with us, we will be back with the second half of The Last Christian here after just a couple of minutes. So hang in there and we will be right back.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. Nestor Arce there in New York City. Nestor, I wanted to go back just for a minute and revisit the second segment. Because I wanted to get into this haunted locations and the manifestations as well. What about that? What about haunted locations? Do those really exist? I mean, are there certain places that really exist, like the Amityville Horror and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And speaking from personal experience, I think I've said the story before and one of our previous shows, and I've also retold my story of when I lived in a haunted house as a teenager on the show Shadows of a Greater Reality. And I'm also working on a YouTube video. Hopefully I want to get it out by Halloween, basically recounting my personal story of how I dealt with a haunted house situation, really how it opened up my eyes to the gospel. Because my sort of lesson that I learned with those experiences is that, well, if there is a such thing as malevolent forces in our universe, then surely there has to be benevolent forces.
Right.
And so that really opened up my eyes to basically, you know, the sort of journey that I'm on now spiritually. But haunted houses are absolutely real. And one of the things that I've sort of taken away from exploring and sort of going into this topic is that a lot of the times whenever you have like violent activity or maybe just some dark stuff that happens, like you go into a home and it's haunted, quote unquote, what you really see is you study the history and you'll find out, oh, like executions used to happen here. Or like, hey, there's like a witch that used to live here and like was conjuring up all kinds of spirits and opening up portals through seances or like just, you know, sacrificial rituals. You know, just imagine if there's somebody who's partaking in all this stuff and they just don't close the door, right? It's kind of like the same way, like you go to, you know, your own home and you just decide, hey, I'm just going to leave my door wide open. You don't know who's going to walk in or what's going to walk in. In fact, like you go back to scripture in 2 Samuel, the whole story of King Saul when he went to speak to, you know, He goes off and he says, hey, go find me, you know, someone who basically communicates with spirits. Go find me a witch, you know, because I really want to hold on to this throne and I need to consult with somebody to make sure that what I'm feeling is right, even though he's been rebuked by God, even though he's been rebuked by Samuel, who's passed on by this point. And I find this story really funny because when you do read the rest of the story, and the spirit that's conjured up is actually Samuel himself. A whole debate in
itself. Now, is that for real? I mean, I've always wondered, was that really Samuel or was that something else? You know more than I do. You're the expert here. You tell me. What was it, really Samuel?
So, well, I can give you my opinion on it. Okay. I believe it was Samuel.
Okay.
And I believe because remember, during the time when we study in scripture, whenever a spirit would pass away, they would go into Sheol. Now, it's believed that Sheol was basically separated into multiple sections, or rather, in this one instance, we had Abraham's bosom, and then we had a place for people that weren't following the law of God, right? Which is where we get the story of the rich man and Lazarus.
Right.
Okay. So that's basically like a really good sort of like illustration of how the spiritual world work, I believe, pre-Christ's arrival.
Okay.
So I believe that it is very possible that Samuel was probably in Abraham's bosom. And so I believe the Lord allowed Samuel to then come in. And here's why I believe that was really the spirit of Samuel, is because he basically rebuked Saul once again to reconfirm Yeah. And so basically, he reconfirmed God's word over Saul and says, no, you're not going to keep the throne. Mm-hmm. By the way, like, you're not going to stay in the VIP section of the club. And because you continue to insist that you do not want to remove yourself from the VIP section of the club, right. Well, now it's time to bring out the bouncers. And by the way, that's going to happen as soon as tomorrow. And sure enough, the prophecy came true, right? Mm-hmm. Because God's word, as it says in scripture, it never returns void.
Right.
And so he basically took him out. He took out his family.
Okay.
So I do believe that was the actual spirit of Samuel. Now, you can go into a whole debate about all that.
Sure.
But I think that's probably one of the few, if not only instances that I can find in scripture where we can see a spirit who was basically aligned with God's word. And I believe that God then allowed them to sort of come into our dimension once again to reprove Saul in order to reinforce his word and the prophecy that was spoken over him.
Okay. So, you know, there used to be a show, I don't know if it still exists or not. I used to watch it a long time ago. The Medium of New Jersey or something like that. Okay.
Okay. And, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, she was always just walks up to somebody and knows they're all this kind of crap. And, you know, I never bought into that. I don't believe that. In fact, I think mediums are kind of scary, which
they are.
Actually, that goes into our very next topic here. So let's go ahead and look at this real quick. You got mediums, curses, witchcraft, and sorcery. God's absolute prohibition, okay, of this stuff is Deuteronomy 18:10-12. No divination, necromancy, spell casting, astrology, or sorcery. You got the modern forms here: white magic, tarot reading, energy healing, horoscopes, manifestation, or manifesting are the same ancient rebellion under new names. Curses and generational bondage. Christ became a curse for us at Galatians 3:13. No demonic curse can stand against a redeemed believer walking in obedience. So our spiritual warfare tools, the Word of God, Matthew 4:4, the blood of Jesus, Revelation 12:11, the armor of God, Ephesians 6:10-18, authority over repentance and faith, Luke 10:19, entertainment that glorifies witchcraft or paranormal power desensitizes the soul Christians should obtain. It's Romans 12:9. So now, real quick, going back, I guess, for a second, I participated as a teenager, I guess, in Ouija boards. Okay. Now, I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe in it at all. Okay. It was complete junk. Okay. I thought it was silly as all get out, but I did that one time and nothing came of it, but that's wrong. I mean, that's sin to do that even. But anyway, what do you think of all this stuff we were just talking about here? This Ouija board stuff and curses and mediums. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's all divination, right? And okay. We go back to Deuteronomy 18, and we can start from verse 10, and it says, okay. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, there's the key word, one who uses divination. And what is divination? What you were just explaining right now, right? The attempt of communicating with spirits.
Right.
One who practices soothsaying, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who is an enchanter or a medium. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm reading all this from the Legacy Standard Bible.
Okay.
Or a spiritist, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to Yahweh, and because of these abominations, now that's a really strong word,
yes,
Yahweh, your God, will dispossess them from before you. Now, that's pretty scary. He's basically saying, if you're out there breaking the rules. Now, mind you, we were talking about the whole thing with Sheol, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's lay out like a little scenario, right?
Okay.
Let's say you decide one day, hey, I got to go visit my cousin in prison. You know, he's done no good. And, you know, I got to just comfort him and console him and tell him, hey, I hope this is like a lesson for you. And hope that when you get out, you know, you're able to turn your life around. Well, what's one of the rules that they give you in the penitentiary when you go visit, you know, a family member? They tell you, don't talk to the other prisoners. If you're encounter another inmate, do not speak to them. Okay. And so I believe on a cosmological level, this is a rule that is being set. Now, mind you, when we read back in scripture, it says that once you're dead, that's it. Like, your place and your role on this earth is completely over. That's it. You're done. You're being separated, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a really interesting thing to note, because God is basically saying there's a spiritual barrier now. Doesn't mean that you can't break it, but he's saying there is a barrier now that you are to no longer then communicate with those people. Doesn't say that even though that they might be dead physically, doesn't say that they are dead spiritually, right? It says that they are now in another dimension, and that's the role that they are to fulfill there. Now, for those people, now I read the Old Testament and the stern rebuke that is in there. And for some people who might be saying, hey, but, you know, that's just the Old Testament. Jesus, you know, fulfilled the old law and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Let's go to Galatians 5, right?
Okay.
And here's the rebuke again. It says in Galatians 5:19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, okay? Mm-hmm. Impurity, okay? Sensuality, okay? Idolatry, okay? Sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Now, if you study, I believe the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia, right?
Yes.
And pharmakia was tied with sorcery. It was tied with witchcraft. It's tied with divination. And so, once again, in the New Testament, even though Jesus himself fulfilled the law, we see Paul, who was a voice for the Lord during this church age, he's saying, yeah, even though Jesus fulfilled the law, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, right, as he continues to say, he says, you are to not partake in any of this stuff.
Yes, right.
And that's really important for a lot of believers who think, hey, you know what, like, it's cool to go ghost hunting. It's cool to, like, you know, maybe practice witchcraft or get involved in that stuff. The Bible offers us a specific rebuke to it.
Yeah, it's scary. Scary stuff, which, you know, it's kind of like going to an amusement park, you know, and mm-hmm. you get on a roller coaster or whatever, you know, it gives you that thrill, adrenaline rush or whatever you want to call it. And I think that's what draws a lot of people into this, going into these haunted houses and, you know, looking for things. It gives them that excitement or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I equate it. But my next question to you is, when these people do make contact, or they think they make contact, I don't know if it's, you tell me if it's real or not.
Sure.
When they do, they're not actually communicating with who they think they're communicating with, right?
No, absolutely not. And we see that all throughout scripture. You're communicating with familiar spirits. Even go back to Hebrew, right? It says that sometimes we entertain angels unaware.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, that's pretty, that in itself is another indictment
now,
of, hey,
that
like,
one, okay, I'm going to jump in on you on that one, because that one,
go
I've got a positive on this, okay? Not a negative, a positive.
Sure.
This happened to me when I was a kid. You were asking me if there ever was such, and this just jumped in my mind. A friend of mine and myself were on a trip, and we were driving, and it was raining, and we lost control of the car. And it ran off the highway and down into a ditch. Okay.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, we rode it out, you know, to get down to the bottom. Now, all of a sudden, and this was like within seconds, there were two guys that walked up and they said, you know, okay, we saw what happened. We got you. And they connected a thing to my car, a tow thing or whatever. And
sure.
They pulled the car up back onto the freeway. We left and they left too.
Yeah.
Now, the chances of that happening where we were kind of weird, you know. But you know, again, now this was back when I was, I mean, it had to have been maybe I was 18, 19 years old, something like that. And it hit me years later. Could this have been angels? You know, because, I mean, they just came out of nowhere. You know, there wasn't anything around, and I never saw them again after they pulled us out. I don't remember anything
That's
about them after that, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, for whatever it's worth, I threw that in there. Okay.
Well, no, I'll even throw in a story where, you know, this actually didn't happen in my own life, but actually happened to my mother. And so she, and it's again, it's a positive story. just as you explained. And so basically the story my mother told me was that one day, and this happened before I was born, this was in Puerto Rico, and she was at the pharmacy one day. She was just, you know, picking up a couple of items. You know, sometimes you stop by a pharmacy and like, all right, I need some stuff for the house. So just a really routine visit. So she goes in, and as she's checking out, she sees this little old lady, you know, with a big bandage over her wrist. She goes up to my mother. She's like, hey, I'm so sorry. You know, can you like buy me these items? I'm so sorry. You know, I don't have money. I just came out of the hospital. I had an injury and all that. So my mom at that point, she's kind of like, you know, should I buy it? Should I not buy it? All right, I guess I'll be nice and I'll buy her the items. So she ends up buying the items for her. And she goes to the parking lot. The old lady's like, hey, I was wondering if you can, you know, give me a ride home. You know, I don't have a car. I just came out of the hospital. I don't know anybody to call to pick me up. And again, my mom's probably thinking, this lady's really pushing her luck. All right, I'll be nice and I'll give her a ride to her house. So, you know, they both get in the car and this little old lady is giving her the directions and stuff. And in Puerto Rico, we basically have our own version of the projects. They call it a caserío. Like, it's basically just a walled off neighborhood that is basically just like, that's where all the, like, the no good people live at. So they drive into the El Caserío, what they call it, and they drive in. She kind of just stops, you know, parks there, drops the old, little old lady off, and the old, little old lady is like, oh my goodness, I'm so thankful for this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, you don't know how much this means to me. And so the little old lady then steps out of the car. My mom decides, all right, let me see if I can help this little old lady get to actually reach her house safe. And as soon as she gets out, mind you, they're like getting out at the same time. As soon as she gets out of the car, the little old lady is gone. The door is wide open. My mom is looking around and she's like, where did she go? This is incredible. Like, she walked, she was nowhere to be found. And I believe that was a really good case for that passage in Hebrews 13 where it says sometimes we entertain angels unawares.
That one's incredible. So let's look at this, Nestor. Discerning the signs of the times. So why is interest in all this exploding right now? As global confusion increases, people search for meaning in the supernatural rather than in the Savior. Now that's 1 Timothy 4:1. So you got the connection to end time deception here. The same spirit of rebellion that built Babel in Genesis 11 fuels today's fascination with forbidden knowledge. AI, oracles, UFO, religions, occult, entertainment, and transhumanism echo the tower's cry, we will ascend. So how should Christians live? Fix eyes on Jesus, not phenomena. That's Hebrews 12:2. Test every spirit, test every spirit, 1 John 4:1, proclaim truth boldly, exposing works of darkness, that's Ephesians 5:11, practice gratitude, purity, and constant prayer, Philippians 4:8, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So your final assurance here is that the true supernatural event for believers is yet to come. That, of course, the rapture of the church and the glorious return of Christ. But, of course, now we are all about that. We want to get to that glorious return. But do you believe that the fascination right now is at an epic level? You know, back when I was growing up, if somebody talked about UFOs or something like that, they were nuts. They needed to be sent to the nut house, you know. And now it seems like everybody is trying to find that next thing. You know, even the government now is saying, yeah, UFOs exist. You know, people coming out of the woodwork with this stuff. So is the fascination growing, I guess, is the long-winded question there.
I think it's blowing up.
Okay.
And it's funny you mentioned, like, when you would talk about these kind of things, you know, years ago, you would look at, you were looked at as if you were crazy, because I was one of those guys. Like, I was the guy in church talking about ghosts and UFOs and this, that, and the other. And
did that cost you, know, friendships? I'm just
questioning.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Go ahead. It cost me so many friendships, cost me a lot of relationships, even romantic ones. And honestly, it feels a little good living today. Because, okay. like, it's kind of, you kind of just get to point the finger back, be like, I yeah. told you so. You know, but the thing is that you have to stand for the truth no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, that's our job as believers. Like, it's, and scripture talks about the fact that when we stand for truth, it is going to cost something. It's yeah. going to cost your friends. It's going to cost you sometimes job opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you sometimes romantic relationships. It's going to mm-hmm. cost you, sometimes it's going to cost you everything. Right. But at least you have that peace that you're standing on the integrity of the gospel and mm-hmm. exposing the darkness. Because that's what we yeah. do, you know, here. And we also do that on Shadows. We expose the darkness. Like, we don't just talk about this stuff because it sounds silly or fun or because it's scary and we get a dopamine hit out of it. Mm-hmm. It's because mm-hmm. the Bible tells us to expose the darkness, right? Mm-hmm. And expose the problem and then offer the solution. What's the solution? Solution is Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus, right?
Yes.
So, you know, going back to the question, yeah, this thing has absolutely exploded. Again, we were talking earlier, and I was mentioning the fact that you're seeing this rise of just this huge group that's coming back into church, which I've determined to be people who come from a lot of new age spirituality and like the whole hippie movement and all that. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the fact that these people have had experiences with UFO phenomena. They've had experiences with, you know, DMT and speaking to spirits during those experiences. They've had experiences with Bigfoot. In fact, a lot of them acknowledge the fact that we are not just body, but spirit. So does the Bible, which is really fascinating. So you basically have this religion that the enemy, spiritual enemy, has used to twist on people and basically this and deceive them and let them know, hey, like, you are God. And yes, all these things do exist. Mm-hmm. However, when you come back to scripture actually determines, you know, all that stuff is, you know, real. But the one thing that you're getting wrong is that you are not God.
Right.
And it's really funny how it's just that one little subtle element in all this that's completely just twists and changes around the entire narrative. So as believers, I believe that our job as believers and the church is to sort of, you know, acknowledge and also sort of tackle this new group that's coming into the church. That's number one. Number two, we can also get into the fact that within all of us, like, we have the, as the scripture says, we have the law written in our heart. We know that even the most ardent, you know, disbeliever, quote unquote, you know, there's a quote, I forget who says it, but this is a really famous quote that goes, there are no atheists in foxholes. Like, whenever you reach the most, you know, the hardest, scariest, just most detrimental point in your life, all of a sudden, your soul starts to default to the fact that, like, all right, like, I really need help here. I don't know where this help is coming from, but I know that there's got to be something out there, even though I cannot see him, I cannot hear him. There's got to be somebody out there, and I know this from my heart, that can get me through this situation. So that being said, I think you're seeing a desire of just normal, everyday people who are so obsessed with the occult, who are so obsessed with the supernatural, because they know that this stuff is real. They know that once you introduce this stuff into their life, it basically awakens them, right? The great awakening.
Let me ask you this real quick. Because, like I said, back in the day, you know, everybody kind of poo-pooed that stuff, right? It didn't have anything to do with it. Now, more and more people are coming around to acknowledge it. Does this mean that there are more evil spirits coming into the world right now, or are they just becoming more more bold as we get to the end time itself? Now, that's a pretty generalized question there, but what do you think?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I personally believe that, you know, I mean, people could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that there has been a determined number of spirits that have inhabited this earth since the flood period.
Right.
But I also believe that again, going back to the Great Awakening, I think people are just becoming way more aware of the existence.
You think it's more of an awareness issue, right? More than, okay, I got you.
It's
okay,
the next, yeah. And the thing is, you know, back then, you didn't have technology like you had. You didn't have AI. You didn't have social media. You didn't have,
we didn't have computers.
So right. Whenever like people would explain, dude, like I played with a Ouija board yesterday and this thing was like spelling out words and all this stuff. Yeah. It was just hearsay. It was just conjecture. Mm-hmm. Maybe you believed the individual, maybe you didn't. But now I have this as proof. Mm-hmm. And so now people are seeing this, you know, and they're going on social media and they're seeing all these crazy experiences. And then they're like, gee, if you're having all those experiences, what can I do that to then have those kind of experiences?
In other words, they're becoming more aware of it and they're looking for it. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Because it all goes back to the desire that is within every human being on this planet, right? And that desire is we were meant for more, right? Mm-hmm. We're meant for more. And so once we realize, wow, this world and this universe and this dimension is a lot bigger than what maybe public school told us, or maybe what the government told us, or maybe whatever the culture tells us, we begin to then be awakened to that fact and that's a really dangerous trajectory, because if we start then acknowledging, once we reach that sort of spiritual awakening and start acknowledging, okay, once again going back to the phrase, if there are malevolent spirits out in our dimension, does that mean that there are benevolent ones? Does that mean that then there is a God? Does that mean that then I can, you know, be saved from my sins? Does that mean that I can go to heaven? And I think that's what these things are doing right now, is that they're trying to prevent the common man from and woman from waking up to that spiritual reality.
Try to lead them down the wrong path rather than lead them toward Jesus, is what you're saying.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
Okay.
In a spiritual sense, right? Like, we can go back to like the whole flood story. In fact, let's go really quick, because I know we're almost out of time, but like, you know, like just recently in the news, you know, the news this week, I don't know if you saw this, Joel, but they were talking about that every human being on the planet has like some sort of like alien DNA.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you can make the argument that, and again, this is a whole different show, but you can even make the argument that's probably a product of, you know, the Genesis 6 account. But now, because, you know, the Lord cleaned the earth during the Great Flood, you bring the UFO phenomena, and then you bring in the fact that a lot of these people are explaining stories that they're being artificially inseminated, you know, and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to ask you about that alien abductions and all that stuff. We'll save that for next time, because I'm sure that you've got some stories on that as well. But Nestor, I do want to thank you for taking the time to be on The Last Christian this week, and I appreciate it. You taking David's place, you did a great job there, and
I wish you
great luck with Shadows of a Greater Reality as well. So until next time, everybody, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you do need to do it, and you do need to be it fast. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Remember, this program is only made possible by the support of people just like you. We receive no outside funding or corporate backing. Everything we do is sustained by those who believe in our mission to speak truth, stand boldly for Christ, and proclaim the gospel in these final days. Your partnership makes a real difference. A single monetary gift helps keep us on the air, while monthly and annual commitments give us the steady foundation to expand our outreach and reach more souls with God's Word. You can also stand with us simply by shopping with our affiliate partners. That's just another way to ensure this ministry remains strong and uncompromised. To learn more or to join us as a partner, visit lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net. Until tomorrow night, thank you, good night, and God bless.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.